Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, welcome to Tag Talk. We have a packed episode for you today. So I'm Kylie, this is Haley. Let's just get right on into it with our Forbidden Door predictions. We're only going to be predicting the tag matches because this is Tag Talk. So at Forbidden Door, there are 4 tag team matches or multi-man matches. So let's just run down the list, Haley, and just give your prediction. Tell us why. Okay, well, the first one's easy. FTR versus United Empire versus Roppongi Vice in a winner takes all. My pick is FTR for clear reasons. I think FTR is the greatest tag team of all time. Haley, who's your pick?
Obviously, FTR. I think that they're on the run of their careers right now, and I just want them to get every belt in every promotion possible, so obviously FTR as well.
I love that. I love that we're united on something.
Always.
The next one is a kind of a Haley special, but I'm super into it. We have Bullet Club with the Young Bucks, who are returning to the Bullet Club for one night only. So it's Young Bucks, El Fantasmo, and Hikuleo versus the Dudes with Attitudes, Sting, Darby Allin, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takahashi. I'm going to go with Bullet Club on this one. Mainly because, well, the Young Bucks are the AEW World Tag Team Champions. And I think New Japan is really wanting to push the Bullet Club hard. If you look at the G1 lineup, it's very Bullet Club heavy. There's a lot of Bullet Club stuff going on. So I think they really want to capitalize on this Young Bucks one night only special return.
I agree. I think the Bullet Club is going to take this. I do love the callback to, like, Sting's stable, Dudes with Attitudes. I love that so much. And I know we talked about it last night. We love it. I was a little surprised when this match was announced. I did want to see maybe, like, the Bucks or, like, a Bullet Club, like, G.O.D. situation or, like, the Bucks and the Good Brothers or something like that. But I'm not mad at this. I'm glad that L.I.J. is getting some rep. So I do think the Bullet Club is going to take it, though.
All right, the next one is a little controversial. I have a lot of opinions about it. But we have the team of Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki versus the team of Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino. I think Eddie Kingston and company are going to take it. Heading into Blood and Guts, I feel like Eddie Kingston and Wheeler Yuta really need some, like, oomph. You know what I mean? And Shota Umino, I think... his connection with John Moxley, I think that's something AEW really wants to capitalize on and push and make the fans aware of, just because they couldn't when Moxley was in New Japan originally because politics. Also because I hate the Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Jericho on this. Only because, and hate saying that, we know, listen, and I hate saying that, but I do think that they're going to take it for the exact opposite reason that you said. I think that babyfaces are going to take Blood and Guts, so I think that going into it, they're going to have the heels win here. Yeah, that's all I have to say. And I'm not happy about it, but that's my prediction.
It's fair. I think that one could really go either way, just because there's been no... this has just been chaos. There's no structure to this feud at all. I think everyone's just really out to beat the crap out of everyone else, and I'm here for it. I think it could go...
As we get Suzuki and Eddie Kingston, like, that's truly one of the only reasons I'm watching this match, so...
Did you see on Dynamite, I tweeted about this, Eddie Kingston, freshly shaved head, done eyebrows. He's going to look... He's going to show up. He's like, I'm going to look pretty, because I know pictures of me and Suzuki are going to circulate on social media for years and years and years. So I gotta look my best.
I'm so ready for the Chop Fest. Oh,
I know. It's gonna be incredible. I'm so excited. And our last tag team match for Forbidden Door is on the buy-in. They're still calling it a buy-in, I'm pretty sure. We have Max Caster and the Gun Club, so the two little ones, versus Colton and Austin,
yeah,
the Billy Juniors, the little ones.
Juniors.
Well, it is what it is. I'm pretty sure they said on Dynamite these are like the LA New Japan Dojo guys. We have Alex Coughlin, DKC, Kevin Knight, and Yuya Mura. I think Max Caster and the Gun Club are taking this one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you have a buy-in, like, the crowd is hype, and I feel like this is a great match to kind of start the show off with. So I definitely think that Max Caster and the Gun Club are going to take this. I think that the Acclaimed in general is so, I'm going to say, underrated.
Yes.
And so I'm just so happy that they're getting to be a part of this very historic event.
I'm so excited for Max Caster's rap. I want to see... Because we have a whole squad of, like, up-and-comers in New Japan. Like, none of them are, like, big stars yet. And I know he's going to have something absolutely heinous to say to them. I'm so excited. I love Max Caster. That might be match of the night. I don't know.
That's bold, but, like, we have to watch the show and see it, maybe. Like,
well... You know what? That's my bold prediction. That's my bold prediction for Forbidden Door. I'm putting it down right here.
It's the match Max of the Caster's night.
Match of the night, including the four way with like all the big stars. Match of the night is Max Caster. You can't top a good rap. You know, it just is what it is. So sticking with New Japan, we have the New Japan Strong 8-team tag team tournament bracket announced. What are your thoughts on this? Because to me, looking at the bracket, it feels a little bit disjointed in that I don't think there's any sort of rationale behind where teams are in the bracket, why they're there. It just seems like, who can we get to stick into this thing? And that's it.
Well, I want to start by saying I'm excited that they're finally introducing strong tag titles and giving kind of the division some air to breathe and give some of these guys some other things to do. But I do agree. I wish that there would have been a little bit more at stake for this, like more teams, maybe like a broader field. I kind of want some more like New Japan people involved in this. I feel like, I mean, we are getting it, but it's not enough for me personally.
Yeah, there are some, I would say, like recognizable names in the tournament. Dark Order, Aussie Open, The Factory are, you know, notable ones. I think New Japan is doing its best to make New Japan Strong something that, you know, Western fans, North American fans should want to watch. I think New Japan is really, after the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, they're refocusing their efforts on the Western expansion. which is what made, you know, AEW. I just, this tag team tournament doesn't highlight the best of New Japan tag team wrestling. Not that I expect, you know, big Japanese stars in this tournament, because it's New Japan strong. It's primarily, you know, Western people. But I think they could have done a little bit more to make this worthwhile for fans.
And I think with guys like Carl Fredericks, you know, he was really carrying New Japan strong for a long time through the pandemic and up until now. But I agree with you. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
It's there.
I don't know. Like,
I gotta be, you know, fair. There's no one in this tournament that I feel like they don't deserve to be there. I think all these people in the tournament, sure. I think they're all great, great wrestlers. I just think there could have been more organization behind the tournament and a little more incentive to get people to watch. But I'm excited to see Dark Order in there. Dark Order and AEW has been, you know, a staple of the promotion, but they haven't really done anything major, I would say. There's been, like, some members have got, you know, TNT title shots, tag title shots, so on. But they haven't really been featured as, like, the guys. So I'm excited to see Dark Order do stuff in other promotions. I would like to see them continue to do that, maybe in ROH moving forward.
I did want to say that the opening bouts and the semifinals already took place. So, like, those results are lingering around on the internet. We're not going to talk about that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it did happen. As for the Dark Order, I agree. I feel like, as lately, not that I view them as, like, a joke or, like, a, you know, like an act or anything, but I just feel like maybe they're a little less serious. Maybe they're losing a little bit of footing. So I do like that they're kind of going out to other promotions and doing that, like you said. And I believe it's Alan Angels and Evil Uno.
It is, yeah. Which, Evil Uno, I'm glad to see him doing something with tag team wrestling with the news that Stu Grayson and...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Is out of AW. They couldn't come to terms on the deal. I think Evil Uno is a phenomenal tag team wrestler, and I really was upset because I didn't want to, not that I don't think he deserves singles opportunities, but I think, you know, the more tag team guys we have in the tag team wrestling scene, the better off it is. And he's definitely, in my opinion, one of the best veterans there. So I'm glad to see him sticking with tag team wrestling, especially with someone as young as Alan Angels. I think there's a lot that Alan Angels can learn from someone like Evil Uno. So we'll see. My overall thoughts on the tournament, watch it. We'll just see. You know, it's so hard to make a judgment on the tournament now, considering New Japan Strong I don't know. It's just kind of been floating. Like, there's not anything really for me to grab onto. And maybe I'm judging this tournament too harshly before it's happened. And maybe it'll be fantastic. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like with teams like Aussie Open as well, like, they're on a hot streak.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, when they combine for United Empire or they branch off and just do the Aussie Open stuff. I'm excited to see where it leads. There's some really interesting matchups and stuff that we could get out of this. So, we'll see.
Yeah, speaking of another interesting matchup, we'd love a segue here. It was recently announced that the Rock and Roll Express, who, if you don't know, has been on like a farewell tour, touring the Indies, doing great things, is going to be in GCW wrestling their final match at the Evansville Coliseum against the Rejects. So what are your thoughts overall on like the farewell tour, and what are your thoughts on this matchup? Because boy, it's weird.
First of all, I love that they're doing this farewell tour. I feel like they've gotten some really interesting matches out of it so far. Yes. Especially their match with FTR. Really enjoyed that. As for the match itself, I do love the Rejects. I'm just a little nervous.
Okay.
No, I don't want anybody to die in this match.
Oh, yeah.
So, Benny, please, gentle, like, please.
I think that goes without saying, honestly. But I've been really surprised. Like, you would expect them to be sort of, like, fragile and, you know.
Oh, they can hold their own. I'm just.
I'm like, why is this a farewell tour? Like, just make a comeback, dude. Go to AEW, get in the tag division, throw it down with Proud and Powerful. They'd be great.
Well, I believe Ricky said while they're retiring as a tag team, like, he still wants to go out and, like, do stuff, like, as a singles competitor. Listen, I'm all for it. If you can go, go. Like, you know, why not?
Honestly, it's the sort of pairing of GCW and Rock and Roll Express, like, it's so weird, but like it works so well because I think the fan base is the same. It's so weird. And people who saw this announcement were probably like, that doesn't work, but like, it does. GCW can take anything weird and make it work, and this is definitely weird, and it's definitely gonna work.
I'm so excited. I love the replay.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think the match is going to be excellent. Of course, it's not going to go super long, but like, what they're going to get in their time is going to be incredible. The Rejects are great. Of course, Rock and Roll is great. GCW is great. I love a good tag team bizarre dream match. I'm here for it.
Yes.
So, moving on in bizarre stuff. Haley, I know you had strong thoughts on this. I was kind of ambivalent. But so Slammiversary happened, if you didn't know. And this was an okay match, in my opinion. Good Brothers versus the Briscoes. I thought it was okay. I don't think it met my expectations personally, because I have such a high standard for both these teams. But yeah, the Good Brothers won. I sent Haley like my outline for the show, and this segment is entitled Slammiversary Review: Why the Good Brothers? And so, Haley, why the Good Brothers?
So, listen, and I want to say I thought the match was good. Obviously, yeah. Both of these teams can wrestle. Obviously, they can go, especially the Briscoes. They bring violence and chaos in every single match. I'm just with the Good Brothers contracts, I believe it's still up in the air with Impact, right? Or no? Did they re-sign or no? Do we know that?
I haven't heard that, no.
So they're still up in the air. Probably. But don't quote me on that. But with that, and then just like the Briscoes' future just like hanging in the wind, like we don't know. Are they going to be able to go to AEW? Are they going to be able to go to Ring of Honor? I'm very confused about the future.
What is happening?
I don't know. I'm concerned.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all I was going to say. Good.
It's not that I'm against the Good Brothers.
Yeah.
Being an Impact. I think the Good Brothers fit an Impact. My sister and I like to joke that Impact is for the rednecks, and I'm a redneck, and I love to see the Good Brothers there. My issue with it is, it's like we always come back to the Good Brothers in Impact.
This is their third ring, right?
Yeah, and it's like
last year.
Yeah, and I can't help but feel that Impact isn't developing its tag team division the way it should be. Like, they just go back to the Good Brothers. And there's a lot of good tag teams in Impact. There's a lot of good tag teams on the indies that could really benefit from bookings with Impact. So I just can't enjoy this as much as I probably normally would, just because it feels like a cop-out.
Well, and for me, too, I feel like while I think that the Good Brothers are a good tag team, I feel like the act is getting a little bit stale. It's so repetitive.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, there's so much talent that you could develop in that division and put up against a team, an iconic team like the Briscoes, and have them go over. Like, I don't know. And I get, like, maybe they just, because all titles changed hands, right? Or most of them?
Most of them, yeah.
But I just feel like this is maybe one that just should not have.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, if you were to keep one title on any team or anybody, it should have been the Briscoes.
Yeah, and it's also probably worth mentioning that Carl Anderson is the never openweight champion in New Japan as a singles guy. And, of course, Carl Anderson, like, the mythic lore of Carl Anderson in New Japan as a singles guy and his G1 match and all this stuff. I just don't know where the Good Brothers stand. I don't know where Impact stands with New Japan. I don't know. There's just something very weird about this situation where I feel like Impact should have refrained from putting the belts on the Good Brothers until there's a better understanding of where New Japan's going with Carl Anderson after Forbidden Door and where Impact can go with him. The Briscoes are just safer, and I think the Briscoes are a lot hotter right now than the Good Brothers.
I was going to ask you, because Carl Anderson did that presser a couple weeks ago, it was like 2 weeks ago or so, where he was kind of talking about Impact, or like made a dig at Impact, and said that like he like turns it up in situations like this, and why would he turn like it up in a room full of like 100 people or whatever, obviously referencing Impact. So I'm just wondering if like the timing is a little sus. Like,
it is. Like, Impact, of course, is doing good things, and I won't.
Yeah, not knocking Impact at all. No.
Yeah. And they just got out of this Impact Originals versus ROH like invasion angle. The Good Brothers fit an Impact. I really do think they do, but I don't think they're necessarily in a place to be the faces of the tag team division.
Yeah.
And Carl Anderson, you know, doing single stuff in New Japan. I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on in Carl Anderson's mind, but it always has seemed like throughout his career, even in WWE, that he wanted another singles run because of the G1 and him getting over as a singles guy. And I just don't know how Impact is going to compete with the, you know, the allure of New Japan, especially going into, you know, the G1 and after the G1 when New Japan is kind of shaken up a little bit. I would hate to see the tag team belts be taken off air because the Good Brothers are off doing other things, or, you know, the Good Brothers maybe don't want to do as many Impact bookings or whatever the case may be. And maybe this will turn out okay, and we're being dramatic. But coming up a Slammiversary, my hope for the Impact Tag Team Division is like,
which sucks to say because normally Impact is like so ahead of the curve in
yeah
like every single way. And so I'm a little bummed. But who knows what they have planned. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah, of course, the Briscoes, they're legends. I would like to see them continue on in Impact, but I would also like to see them take bookings in Ring of Honor or AEW if that ever happens. It's just hard to see Impact fall into this trap of booking, like, these crossover stars when Impact and all their partnerships, and, you know, people argue about this on the internet all the time, but it's the truth. In all their partnerships, Impact is definitely the lower player. I don't know. I just feel like New Japan and Impact, there's just that relationship does not work for tag team wrestling, at least right now. And I am kind of disappointed in Impact for making that decision. Otherwise, the Knockouts tag team championship match was great.
Yes.
I was a little surprised with the result. Of course, it was Influence versus Taya and Rosemary. I was a little surprised that Taya and Rosemary won. The match was great, of course, because all these women are great. But I'm more interested in this tag division than the men's.
100%. The Knockouts division is...
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
One of the leading divisions in all of wrestling, in my opinion. Yeah. So I feel like they normally never steer me wrong. So I'll just stick with that.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you saw it, but I'm a big Mexican wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple Mania happened, and Ty Valkyrie, of course, she's big in AAA.
Yep.
She called out Thunder Rosa, so she's doing single stuff. Yeah. But I feel safer with her as a tag team champion and Impact, more safe with her doing that and doing her single stuff than I feel with Carl Anderson and the Good Brothers doing tag and single stuff in New Japan. I don't know what the difference is, but I think it's just the quality of the booking and the divisions. Like, I have no confidence in the men's tag team division at Impact, but the women, they could do whatever. And I'd be like, you know what? It's going to work.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's definitely a weird situation Impact have found them in. Like, normally it's the women who get, you know, bad booking and less time, but now it's like the women are carrying Impact, with the exception of the X division. But this is a tag team wrestling show. But, you know, Mike Bailey, love him. Anyway, love that man. I don't know. I'm really just excited to see where Rosemary and Taya Valkyrie take this.
Yeah, me too.
So that wraps up our news prediction review section of the show. So we asked you all on Twitter to send us your burning questions, and we would pick a few and we would answer them on the show. So we've done that. In the future, we're probably going to do this again. So follow us both on Twitter so you can see when we ask for questions. You can send us your question and we might answer them on the air. So first and foremost, Haley, are you ready to answer questions?
I'm so ready.
Okay. So our first question comes from Doc. He says, curious to know if you think Trio's title should have been introduced before the All-Atlantic title. Doc is my pretend dad on Twitter. That's our relationship. He's adopted me and protects me from weirdos on the internet. And he's, you know, just a good friend of the show. So I would say I do think Trio's title should have been introduced before the All-Atlantic title. They say they're waiting for Kenny Omega. They're waiting for Kenny Omega, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's bestie. It's been months. And you have the pieces in place for a trios division. And now you have all these trios like the House of Black and Death Triangle who are just sitting, feuding with each other for like no reason. And we're just waiting for trios titles. And we're waiting for Kenny Omega. Why?
So I also think that they should have been introduced first. I feel like they're introducing a lot of these trios right now, which is great. But like you said, they're feuding with themselves or within, you know. So
yeah, within the trios division.
But like, and for what? Like, what are we getting out of this? Nothing. Like the Julia thing was drug out for way too long. And I just feel like a lot of these teams, like, because this is going on, and there's no, like, they're not, like, reaping any benefits from it, really. Like, it's just, it's stale. And it's getting tired really fast. And I feel, I'm just tired of it, I think.
Yeah. And I think, you know, planning the titles with the intent that you would wait for Kenny Omega to come back, that's fine. But when it became clear that Kenny Omega wasn't going to be back when AEW thought he was going to be back and that he was going to take more time, they should have just gone ahead with it. And then when he comes back, he can then challenge for the titles.
Exactly. Start setting feuds up now.
Yeah.
Because, he's inevitably going to come back, like, sooner rather than later. So the sooner you get some of these stories going, the ball rolling, like, come on.
Yeah, and now, you know, you have Varsity Blondes, Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman Jr., who are now on Dark. They're now with the Andersons. They're with Brock Anderson and Arn Anderson. So there's another trio that they've set up that is just going to sit there and do nothing for, you know, the longest time. And I just don't think that's good for any of these talent, especially the House of Black, who are insanely over. The way every single crowd goes nuts for that entrance it's just crazy to me that they're still feuding with Death Triangle. And we've done nothing with either of these teams, who are full of just fantastic talent. And we're just waiting for Kenny Omega. And I love Kenny Omega. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm Kenny Omega's number one fan. I owe that man my life. But we don't need to wait for him anymore. Like, he's not going to be here in time for this to be reasonable. And we're approaching territory where it's like, I don't care that much anymore.
Yeah. It's definitely being beat to death. And, yeah.
And this is my final thought on this. It's a problem that AEW has a lot, where something is probably an inevitability. Inevitability.
Yeah. You're right.
Is that a word? Anyways, where something is inevitable and we all just like wait around for it to happen. And like they drag it out so long that it's like, ugh, like Thunder Rosa winning the women's title. It was like, okay, Julia Hart. Okay. So I think AEW needs to figure out a way to stop falling into this trap.
I agree.
Okay, our next question comes from my other co-host, Kyle. He says, what's the earliest tag match that either of you have concrete memories of? Mine is a bit weird. I thought about this for a long time. My first one is from TNA, because if you don't know, when I was a child, I watched a lot of TNA and a lot of Ring of Honor and not so much WWE for most of the early 2000s. So I don't have a lot of memories of this match, but I remember watching this match and I remember parts of it. It was at TNA Turning Point 2004. It was like a whoever loses has to break up sort of stipulation. Mm-hmm. It was in a cage. It was America's Most Wanted, which was Chris Harris and James Storm, versus Triple X, which was Christopher Daniels and Primetime. That's such a weird, you know, first tag team match memory. But my second one is also weird. I have no idea when this match happened. I didn't look it up before the show, and I probably should have. This match, I remember watching, it was like a random SmackDown, I think. And it was Kelly Kelly teaming with Edge versus like Kula Dolph Ziggler, like the world champion. What was that?
Not us having the same exact match.
Oh my god. What was that? First of all, let's get that out there. Why is Kelly Kelly the only woman in WWE who's defended the World Heavyweight Championship?
Listen, as she should, though. Like, she was the first and the only. And you know what? Period.
I love Kelly Kelly. The irreplaceable Kelly Kelly. They've been trying to replace that woman for years, and it cannot be done.
It's not possible. Sorry. Can't do it.
But there's only one Kelly Kelly.
I can't believe this match. I was like, I feel like this is so obscure. Like, there's no way that she would also have this. And then when you said it's random
smack,
I was like, oh no.
And I remember the finish when Kelly Kelly won. Yes. And, you know, Edge was, like, so grateful that she had defended his title. And I remember, like, being very emotional about that as a child.
Wow. And she started crying. And I believe she said in an interview, don't quote me on this, but I think she said that she had LeCool, like, she told them to, like, beat her up, like, bad, so that she would cry when Vicky fired her. Like, she wanted to cry. And you know what? Give her an Oscar, like, Oscar-worthy performance. We love Kelly Kelly.
Kelly Kelly, if you have any thoughts on that match and you're seeing this, feel free to share them. I would love to talk about it.
Please. We should get her on the show.
I'm going to contact her people. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get her on the show, and we're going to talk about that match. We're going to do a watch-along. If you want to be part of helping me get Kelly Kelly on the show, follow me on Twitter. I'll post
and tag her.
Yes, clip this. Yes, get her on the show. So, moving along before we get in trouble, our third question comes from Tony. Do you think AEW is going to add women's tag titles? Yes. Mm-hmm. And my reason for that is I think women's tag titles are now so common. It's basically a requirement of a women's division. Everyone has them in North America. You know, NWA has them. Impact has them. WWE has them. I think AEW would be remiss not to introduce them at some point. And like Tony said, it does seem like they're setting up tag teams. When these belts are coming, I don't know. But if you think back to the beginning of AEW's history, they did do a women's tag team tournament. It was for like some medals. It wasn't for the titles. But clearly there's like a historic basis for it.
I feel like at the time they did that, though, there was a lot of, like, hate and backlash on the internet for what, I don't know, but just doing the tournament in general. So I feel like maybe they're a little apprehensive to run it back. But, you know, yeah. I do think that they're coming with the way that the titles are all set up right now. I'm not sure when or, like, the time frame that they could be introduced. Mm-hmm. But maybe once, you know, ROH gets back on TV and those titles kind of transition back over and we get them out of AEW, maybe we'll start to see some movement in the women's tag division.
Yeah. My concern is the roster, the women's roster is still quite small. They've made a few signings recently, but it's still a small division. And I don't know how you could do, you know, the world title, the TBS title, and the tag titles was such a small division. Unless Tony Khan starts hiring more women, which I'm here for. I think there's so much space in this division for talent. And like I said on Twitter last night, we're filming this the Thursday before Forbidden Door, by the way, because I'm going to Forbidden Door. If you see me, come say hi. But last night on Dynamite, I was like, there's no real excuse not to move the women's division forward now, simply because people have been saying for years, like, oh, but everyone in the women's division is so green. Like, they're so, like, inexperienced. Well, if that was an excuse, it's not anymore, because everyone is, like, has progressed so far from Jade to Julia Hart to Britt Baker to all these people. So it's like, it's not an excuse anymore. And I think Tony Khan has been relying on that for too long. And I do think the women's division is slowly but surely advancing. So I'd like to see women's tag titles somewhere in the next 2 years. I think that's reasonable, 2 years.
And I don't even necessarily agree that, like, the they're too green argument is even valid, because all wrestlers have to start somewhere. So they're all green at some point, just because you're seeing them on TV. So what? Like, they need to get the experience, and, you know, why not?
You know what? I agree. Women's tag titles should be...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Whether that's ever going to happen, I don't know. Fingers crossed. Tony, what are you doing? So we have one, I think we have time for one more question. This comes from our other good friend of the show, Jackie Rodriguez. What do you think of the concept of two singles guys holding tag belts? I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself because I'm really curious what Haley's going to say about this.
I was hoping that you would go first because I feel like...
I'll go first. I have a little bit of a rant. So Jackie, in her question, used the example of Kenny and Hangman, which is a fair example. They are two singles guys. But I think there's a difference between two stablemates being tag champs and two rando singles guys being tag champs. I think for a long time, especially, you know, in like North American wrestling, Western wrestling, whatever you want to call it, I think people have been conditioned to see tag team belts as like a storytelling device for singles feuds. And it happens all the time and it can be done well. But I think that it always, without a doubt, harms the tag team division. And I don't think Kenny and Hangman are necessarily an example of that, because Kenny and Hangman were stablemates. You know, there's a lot of history there. For all, you know, intents and purposes, they were tag team partners. They were, I don't think that it's the same thing as like if Kenny and, I don't know, Wheeler Yuta became tag team champs together. That's
so random.
He's the first one I thought of.
I love Wheeler's that.
Always on my brain. I love that. And then, you know, some people bring up Brian Danielson and John Moxley, but then again, that's not the same, because Brian Danielson and John Moxley had their little feud, and then they decided, we're both really, really, really good. We're going to team up, and now we're a tag team. Like, they fully moved on from their singles feud. So I don't necessarily agree with singles guys holding the tag team titles, unless it's in a situation where it's like they're committed to the tag team. Not where it's like, can they coexist?
Yeah.
Like, we're at a point in 2022 where we're past that. That's my little rant. Haley, do you agree with me or not?
I do agree. No. And I figured that we would agree on this. But I also think that it does tarnish the tag divisions, especially because I don't necessarily think that they should be entirely different. But I think, like you said, when you're having these single guys feud, when you have incredible tag teams in your divisions that are underutilized or just point blank not on TV or whatever at all, it's kind of a slap in the face, especially because there are so many like singles titles out there, you know,
especially in AW, my goodness,
oh my god,
it's like everyone's a single champion in that company. It's like crazy,
20 titles.
And it's weird to me Because you remember when AEW first started, where they were like, we want the belts to mean something. We're going to have a men's belt, a tag belt, and a women's belt, and that's it. Well, now all of a sudden, everyone's a champion.
And it reminds me of, like, when, this is going to sound bad, but when, like, a sport, like a kid's sports team or something, when, like, everybody gets a participation medal, and then you're like, see, like, you know, like, everybody gets a participation medal, like, you participated, whatever, but, like, and, like, you try to teach them that, like, that's okay, and, like, not everybody has to be a winner. But, like, why do we need so many titles? Do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I think AEW really, and I don't want to say that they always struggle with this, but I think sometimes they struggle to make stakes, like, make matches feel important without a title. The exception, of course, is, like, Anarchy in the Arena, Blood and Guts, like, these big, you know, gimmick matches that they don't do often. Of course, that has stakes. But, like, with their, like, mid-card feuds, it's like they always want to have a title in there. And, unfortunately, it's the TNT title that's mixed up in there. You know, that's TNT title has always been, like, my favorite title in AEW. And now it's kind of lost. Yeah, now it's kind of lost in the shuffle. And it's the same thing in the women's division. Like, AEW really struggles to make feuds that aren't centered on a title. And you could say the same thing about WWE. Like, it's so hard for them to have a meaningful feud that doesn't involve a title. A lot of their feuds that don't involve titles are just silly. Like, they don't make a whole lot of sense. And it's kind of pointless, and no one comes out better. And, you know, you can't say that AEW isn't the same. And so, I don't know. I just feel like, in terms of single guys crossing into the tag team division, if they're going to bring something to the division, that's fine. But if they're going to take something away from it, like, they're going to hold the belt hostage to the detriment of the division, or they're going to, like, tarnish the reputation of the belts, I don't want that. So I think, in general, singles guys and tag team, you know, becoming tag team champions is okay, but you, like, it's case by case basis here. Yeah. Like, we can't generalize.
I agree.
So,
I love this little segment.
I know. I love the Q&A segment. Like I said, you know, follow us on Twitter and send us your questions. I can't always promise that we'll answer them because we got a lot of questions and we tried to pick ones that we thought were most relevant. But if you have any questions about tag team wrestling, wrestlers, our thoughts on tag team wrestling, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitters are down there. And just let us know what you think. I also run a lot of polls over on my Twitter. I am collecting so much data about you guys. I'm Google at this point. My goal was to learn as much as I could about the Tag Talk audience, and I'm learning a lot, especially the fact that you guys hate the Young Bucks.
Yeah, you guys are very pro FTR, and I'm a little sad about it.
Haley, I ran one poll that was like, who's the most overrated tag team in AEW? And I had like the Young Bucks, FTR, like just, you know, the big players. And it was overwhelmingly the Young Bucks. And then I ran another one that was like, what tag team best represents tag team wrestling in 2022? And it was overwhelmingly FTR and like a few Young Bucks. Somehow, Gorillas of Destiny got more votes than the Usos. I guess,
like,
we'll talk about that next week
as well.
we'll talk about that next week because the Usos are going to be at Money in the Bank, and so we'll make that part of our little Money in the Bank episode. But yeah, if you want to participate in my polls, follow us on Twitter. Make your voice heard. Like we said, we want this to be as interactive as possible. And we do still have some questions from our last time that we could pull up maybe next week or in the future. So if your question isn't answered the week that you give it, I have it. I promise you.
I made it. She has it.
Yes. I'm looking at them right now. So we have them. We'll just pull them up at random. So that's all we have for you guys this week. I'll do my plugs. Follow me on Twitter at @Fuller_Kylie. See me on Tag Talk, Fightful Overbooked, every Sunday at 5. On the bodyslam.net YouTube channel, I have a show called Code of Honor Podcast with my co-host Kyle. We answer one of his questions today, where we talk everything Ring of Honor, which is going to be a lot of fun now that Ring of Honor and TV looks like it's actually still going to happen. and we have so much going on. Kyle is a great wrestling historian, and we've done so many history episodes with Kyle and Carrie Silken where I just sit there and listen. So if you're into that, go to Body Slam YouTube channel. You can find those there. Otherwise, just follow me on Twitter, and you'll see wherever I'm popping up, what I'm doing, so on and so forth. Haley, your turn.
You know, my plugs are the same as always. You guys can follow me on Twitter. It's over there. We are working on some great stuff. Thank you. We're working on some great stuff for this show. And I'm just excited for you guys to see all of that. And this week, because you guys know, last week I plugged my friends over at Your Dose of Death. So this week I'm going to plug my friend Tony D, DJ underscore Tony underscore D on Twitter. He's a wrestling photographer, videographer. He's fantastic. He just, a couple of days ago, released a mini documentary on Nick Wayne. And I just want you guys to go check that out and give him some love. He goes to a lot of wrestling shows and makes incredible music videos. He's just a great guy. So go support. And that's my plugs.
So follow Fightful Overbooked, like this video, comment below, let us know what you're thinking. Let us know your answers to the questions that our viewers asked. I'm really curious what you guys think about women's tag belts, trios, all these things. And also tell us what you think about the Good Brothers, because are we in the minority on this? I feel like we're in the minority on this, guys.
I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter. I don't know.
Well, comment below. That's all we have for you. We'll see you next week, our post Forbidden Door episode.
Yes.
And like I said, I'll be at Forbidden Door. I'll be there all weekend. If you see me, come say hi. I would love to see you guys. I saw so many of you at Double or Nothing. So come say hi. I'm very approachable.
She is.
And so.
That was so awkward. All right.
I thought you were going to say something because you said.
No, I was just going to say happy Forbidden Door weekend. Enjoy your rest of the weekend. You know, that's all I was going to say.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.